Okay, welcome to Movie Dudes, episode 194. I am Jeff, joined as always by Chris.
That's me.
And here's the thing. It's the time of year where a lot of stuff that's coming out on the video right now is stuff that we saw in like October, November, all that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like I've already seen A Star Is Born, you know, or whatever. Yep. And a lot of stuff that's coming out in theaters just is not.
It's been dry, very dry, yeah, at the theater.
I mean, there's a couple things now I'd like to see, but yep, I just haven't gotten around to them yet. I think we both have that AMC, you know, pass. But
yeah, like, I haven't used it in like a month.
I have literally not used it since Glass, so it's been like a month. Yeah. It's just, you know, even though you can go see the movies for free, it's like sometimes it's like, do I want to go to the theater to see this or could I wait, you know?
Right.
I will try to see Lego at some point.
I'm going to try and see that. I actually, this weekend is, I'll be spending a lot of time at the theater.
Yeah.
Happy Death Day to You comes out. I know you didn't really like the first one, but I did.
The problem is I don't like what's her name.
Okay.
The actress. I hated her. I don't know.
I can see that. Like, yeah, if she's the person that is like kind of fronting this, like, yeah, yeah, you're not going to be into it. And I do want to see, is it Battle Angel Alita or Alita? I don't know. It's like whichever one.
I want
to
see that too.
I actually have tickets to see it tomorrow. So, hopefully I will see Lego 2. I didn't feel the hype for Lego 2 this time. Like,
I didn't either, but like things I've heard and stuff like make me want to see it. But, yeah. And the Alita Battle Angel movie, like they've been advertising that for literally years. I remember seeing that like at least fucking 2017, like a trailer for it. And there's zero hype around it and all that. But I tell you what, every time I see it, I'm like, that looks like a cool, like, that looks like one of those, like, what you go to the movies to see. Like, you know, like, so I still have interest in seeing that. So I've not talked about any of this with Melissa yet, but I would like to see both Lego and that. So we'll try to have some more, like, you know, newer theatrical films.
Yeah,
releases for next time. But here, we're going to be playing a little bit of cleanup.
And yeah,
started off like this is going to be almost like a sibling episode to last week, in which, you know, Chris has seen a couple things that we talked about last week. He just hadn't gotten to them yet. I guess let's start with you saw Horror Noir on Shudder.
I did.
And did you end up liking it or
I what? Did. It's a short, like, it's really short.
Like, it feels, like, I minutes. Told you, yeah.
It's very breezy. They talk a lot, about like the history of black horror. I guess that is kind of like the subtitle of it. But yeah. I don't know, like they seem to focus a lot on like a couple films. It's almost like a companion piece to Get Out.
It's like it feels like it should be an extra on Get Out.
Yeah.
Like a really good extra on Get Out.
Yeah, yeah. It's not a knock against it. It's just like Get Out is very much a focus of it. And like Candyman gets a good chunk of time in it. It's like they don't really kind of like focus on, I don't know, it's they didn't spend a lot of time talking about like a lot of the films. And it's more like this is kind of how the history progressed and how, you know,
here's the tropes, you know.
Yeah, here's the, you know, the black guy always dies or like, oh, you're the friend. You're here to like comfort the white girl or.
Yeah.
And so it's like it's interesting to see. And it's like, yes, I definitely have seen a lot of this in horror over the years. I just wish they would have like talked maybe a little bit more about some of the films. Like there was the one, I don't remember exactly which film it was, but where the producers were away, I guess at one point, and like the director, he took the cast and the crew and like they like drove up in the mountains or something, rewrote the entire film and like filmed it.
Yeah.
Like that's fucking amazing. Like
was that Ganja and Hess or was that?
Yes, that was it. That was the one.
Yeah.
it's like amazing, like just how like some of this stuff plays out and you know how it's had an impact and stuck around for history. I really do like the they were talking about I think it's the girl from The Craft. Mm-hmm. And the guy from Friday the 13th, and the one analyst was kind of like going like, oh well, you know, it's this bad trope that like, you know, black people yeah. would always die, and then like he kind of just goes like, I didn't give a shit. I was in movie, like, you yeah. know, that was something. And it's like, hey, I'm in Friday the 13th and you're not.
Yeah, he's like, I was happy to be the black guy because that means I was the guy that made it, you know, or whatever. Like, not made it because he gets killed, but like, I made it into the movies, you know.
Yeah, and that's some of
her response was even better because she's like,
I was getting paid.
I was getting paid.
It was great. And it was funny too because it's like, I look at that and, I did very much like they, you know, when they were talking about that trope and about how like the black characters really didn't have any characterization and they were kind of one note. And I'm like, well, like outside of like a handful of characters in Friday the 13th, there is no characterization. Like they're all stereotypes. That doesn't make, you know, how they handled any of it good, but it's I found that criticism and then like cutting to Friday the 13th a little weird. Like,
I mean, I agree with it, or I mean, I agree with what you're saying, and that's mm-hmm. I think part of why they probably skipped past the era a little bit more. But right. it's like,
yeah,
at the same time, you know what? Yeah, I can't name you a Friday the 13th movie where the black guy was the person at the end,
that, right? Like, exactly. Black, like, you know, and, so. Yeah, it's not that it's not a trope. It was just like it's weird to kind of strike on. Especially like for 80s films where, I mean, oh, we love them in a lot of ways, but they're also horribly written. Like,
yeah,
they're not good films. They're not good storytelling. Like a lot of it is like, you know, that was when we were kind of cut our teeth on horror and there's like a special place in our heart, but yeah, the criticisms are valid. It was just like, yeah, I could see that.
Well, I mean, it's two different criticisms. One is,
yeah,
they're not deeply characterized, and no, yeah, you're right, nobody is. But yeah, I mean, I'm just kind of like,
yeah,
you know, as a side thing to that, like, yeah, but at the same time, who, you know, what black character in Friday the 13th was ever exactly. the main one or lived to be near the end? I guess it just randomly popped in my head. I guess the guy from 8 made it close, and he had a stunning death. But
yeah,
when he gets his head punched off.
And I did. It was interesting to see that they called out like Wes Craven and, you know, his attempts to be very diverse in his films. And
I mean, People Under the Stairs feels like a black film. I just rewatched it. Like, if I didn't know it was Wes Craven, I would almost have assumed that it would have been a black, like, right. writer director. You know.
So I mean, like the way like where they kind of like pick their allies and talk about history, and it was very interesting. And also like just seeing how, you know, Jordan Peele, where his inspirations came from and how he adapted that to make Get Out was very interesting. And
I love when they're interviewing him and they're talking about People Under Stairs, and he's like, I remember first time I saw it, I'm like, wait,
yes, is
a black kid like the main character here? Like,
who let this go through?
The funny thing is, like, when I was a little kid, it didn't strike me one way or another.
That was another piece that they called out actually, and specifically with Get Out was that, I mean, for us, you know, being white dudes, like we've never really had to kind of look at somebody on screen and just like kind of be empathetic with them in the situation they're in. But that's something that consistently happens for black audiences. Mm-hmm. And one of the things she called out, she was like, it was really cool, like being in the theater and like, you know,
people are cheering for Chris and Get Out. Yeah. Yeah.
And like the white guys are like the white people in the theater are cheering for them. And like, they're being empathetic with it. It's like, so like, yeah, it's you don't realize how important that film is in characterizing like this very disenfranchised demographic as like that film really does humanize black people in film in a way that hasn't been done very well historically. So it's a very interesting documentary. I really would have just liked to kind of seen Keith David like just talk more.
I love that him and Ken Free were sitting next to each other though. Mm-hmm. That's so cool. Like those are two like two of the biggest, not just black actors in fucking horror. They're like two of the biggest
actors. Yeah. Yeah, that was a really cool like you know way of doing it. I liked that entire like when you know they're doing the talking head bits. It's in a theater. Mm-hmm. And like sometimes they're sitting like next to each other, sometimes they're sitting a row apart. Like mm-hmm. it was just a really well shot and interesting documentary. It always kept it kind of fresh, as you know, some documentaries get a little too, well, this is a person and they're sitting in a chair. Like these people yeah. were like, this, you know, we're talking about movies and it's fun. Yeah. Like
you can tell they're having fun talking about movies, and it was like, you know, like I said, like these are not all new ideas to me, but like it was cool seeing these people talk about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, one of the things, like when she said that, like, oh, it like struck me that like the white people in the audience were like, you know, now you're empathizing with someone that's not like you, just like we do all the time. It reminds me a lot of what Kumail Nanjiani, who did The Big Sick, mm-hmm. he said when that came out, he's like, I've loved romantic comedies my whole life, and it's always been white people, and I've always had to empathize with like their situation. Well, you could do the same for me. And guess what? Big Sick was a huge hit, and yeah. you loved it. Everyone loves it and sees it. So,
and that's the thing. Like, I mean, I think, well, at least for us, like we're able to go into these films and like you're able to see bits of yourself in every character. Like mm-hmm. it doesn't matter whether they're white, black, Indian, or whatever. Like if they're telling a good story and the characters are good, everybody should be able to relate because they're just human stories.
Yeah.
And I think that that's kind of what they were getting at with this in a way, is that like, yeah, but we haven't been able to tell our stories and you can relate to them. It's just nobody's really let us do it. And
in fact, like how many times have you and I said that a movie feels fresh because it is like a different culture or different right. point of view, you know, give me more.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, so that's horror noir. I'm glad you enjoyed it. You have a slap a rating on it.
I'm gonna go with a 3. Like it, I wish it was a little bit longer. Like,
I said the same thing.
It's just, I think it's very good. It, as you said, it doesn't really touch on a lot of new ideas, but it is a nice condensed package to put them all in one spot.
Yeah.
But I would have liked to see more of you know kind of that beginning era of black horror films and see them talk yeah. a little more about that, but
some of that stuff I didn't know, so yeah,
right.
I've never heard of Gotcha yeah. until like 2 weeks ago, so
whatever. It's very entertaining, and like 3 is, you know, it's like right in the middle, but I think for horror fans it's very much worth giving a look at.
Mm-hmm. And then the other one, what the hell was the other one that I'd seen? Oh, I pushed, whatchamacallit on you, Abducted in Plain Sight. How did that ride?
Holy shit. So, I mean, like, you know, we talked about it. I kind of knew, like, the idea behind it. And then I'm watching it, and it's like, what's interesting about this documentary is that it doesn't really analyze anything. It just, here's what fucking happened. And they lay it out. And very kind of like front to back. And sometimes there are pieces that they leave out and then bring in later. Specifically like the way that this guy B was, while he was trying to get at their daughter, he was also like, sexually, working on the mother and father as well.
That's unbelievable. Like,
it's wacky.
The most unbelievable part to me, the part that like snapped me out of taking my nap, was when the dad was like, yeah, one of the worst things I ever did in my life is where I was riding the car with him and he just like told me how he's so horny and I jerked him off. I was like, wait.
Right.
Okay, are you gay? Like they didn't even like bother to explain that.
It was like, so weird. Like it's like, just you're like married.
What does your wife think of that, knowing that now? Like,
yeah, it was nutty, like the fact that he's just like, you know, like I'm just like, I have a bad relationship. I gotta have sex. It's like, will you do it? Like, what? No, full stop. Like, well, you're gay, whatever. But full stop there. Dude, you are a dude that is hanging around my kids and my family. Something's off about you. You're just like going to ask for a handy in the car.
And then, knowing that, yeah, I need to, my therapist says I need to sleep with your daughter and then listen to these creepy fucking tapes on top of it. Like, I just...
The whole thing is crazy.
I find it hard to believe.
And it's like the FBI agent. You couldn't write that. Yeah, like, that's what's nuts. Like, the FBI agent is just like, dude, like, he kidnapped your kid. You realize that, right? Like, he took your kid.
Fucking nuts, dude.
It just keeps getting crazier, and then they, like, bring in aliens and shit, and like, what the fuck is going on in this thing?
Yeah. Did he, like, tell her some story about aliens, right? Like, that's why he had to fuck her or something?
Yeah,
shit.
He's like, there was a mission, like, and they were both aliens, and they had to have, and she had to have a baby by 16, and oh my god, it was almost like, this is mind-boggling. And then it's like, you know, it's about halfway through and they catch the guy and, like, you know, they bring him back from Mexico and he's gonna go to trial, and then these lunatics drop the fucking charges. the his wife comes over and is like, well, if you don't drop the charges, like, he's gonna, like, let it out that you jerked him off in the car one day, and that, like, and your wife was, like, you know, letting him touch her boobs and, like, make out with her and shit. It's like,
yeah,
I don't give a shit. You're going right. to jail,
right? You're lucky I haven't fucking murdered you,
right?
Again, it's just your standard true crime doc in terms of, like, we're just doing interviews and shit. But it's just, like, it's just a fucking nutty crime. Like, it's just insane that these people allowed this to happen. I mean, I guess they're victims too, but, like, at some point, I gotta be, like, I gotta call foul and be, like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Well, it's, like, I had empathy for them, some of that, like, but no, like, my empathy kind of stopped when you dropped the charges.
Let it happen again.
And then, like, the mom went and, like, slept with him after that.
Like, yes, exactly. Like, I can't believe that these people would be convinced to talk about
this. No, again, that's nuts.
They did what they did because they're apparently not the brightest fucking, you know, sharpest tools in the shed or whatever. Like, what on earth are you thinking?
Yeah, it's nutty. Like, I don't think it's a great documentary. I think it's it's very standard, like, in the way it's shot and the way it's delivered. It's the actual story, though. Like, this is batshit insane. And then, oh my god, it's not over, because, like, the actual first abduction is pretty crazy to begin with, and then it's like, oh god, it gets worse. So, yeah, like, I think if you enjoy, like, crazy ass, like, true stories, this is definitely one. It's one that just left me infuriated with the mother and father at the end, though. It's like, what the hell? So I'm gonna give that one a 3 too, but definitely worth, you know, like, it's definitely worth the 90 minutes to see the insanity.
It's just wild. Like, if you're a true crime person, you've probably already seen this, but if you haven't, watched it. If you're not a true crime person, I do think that, like, maybe, you know, see what you think, like, start watching it. Like, I know some people, like, don't like the subject matter and they're sensitive about it, but if you're not, if you're, like, want to hear a story that makes you go, what the fuck, every two minutes, there you go.
This every 2 minutes, you're like, it gets crazier.
The only, like, movie I've, like, yeah, I'm trying to think, yeah, the only, like, big movie I've seen this week is The Hate U Give, which that came out like last October. I think it came out. If I let me look at this. Okay. I thought it came out the same week. You know what? It probably came out the same week as A Star Is Born. So that's why I was like, oh, I went with that. And then it got lost in the shuffle. October was super busy.
Yep.
But I always thought it looked pretty good. And I finally saw it. It's like, I think it's based on like a young adult novel.
Yes. So I've read the book.
Okay. And you have not seen the film, though.
I've not seen the movie yet, no.
So yeah, but you'll be able to weigh in on that fact. I've not read the book. I was kind of surprised to, like, oh, maybe not. I mean, I guess this is the, I think, you know, young adult novels expect kids to be able to handle adult material, right?
Yeah.
And this would be a great story for kids to read. Do you like the book?
I did. Yeah, okay. It was really good.
So the idea here is this young girl. She's like a high school kid named Star Carter, and she's played by an actress named Amandla Stenberg, who's phenomenal in this. The whole cast is great. She is out one night at a party. She's driving with, like, she's riding shotgun in a car with her childhood friend. She's grown up with him, and there's a little bit of romance between them, even though she has a boyfriend. You know, that's kind of like the first half hour of the movie is that. Of like introducing you to her, the city she lives in, the school she goes to, because she lives in like the inner city, but she goes to a private school that's almost all white, and just kind of telling you how she navigates those two worlds and stuff, and then, you know, her going to this party, and you learn about her friend, and then all of a sudden you get pulled over, and he gets shot and killed in front of her by a white police officer, and so it's a movie about. You know, it's about something. It's about, you know, police brutality, specifically police using excessive force and killing black people in numbers that far outweigh, you know, other populations, right?
Right.
It's about a real problem, this, where the Black Lives Matter movement comes from. And it's like an issue that has always really fucking bothered me. I have a huge problem with, like, authority and state violence in general. But then just to see an entire group of people be treated even worse because of, you know, conscious or unconscious bias or racism, and have to deal with that on a day-to-day basis and it's part of their lives, and to have most people I know who are white not get that. Like, they think, oh, you know, I can't tell you how many times I've heard a white person say, like, well, if they just complied and do what they're told, and like, you know, you're just wrong. You're wrong about this. You know,
yeah, and it's like you kind of want to be like, look, like if you did the same shit that
these, you'd be alive.
You would still be alive. They would not have pulled the trigger on you, and that's where it really gets bothersome. It's like,
yeah, it's disturbing to me. Like, I mean, we go on and on about that, but that's kind of what this movie is about. And this movie really kind of tackled more topics than I expected it to, you know, kind of surrounding that, like the way she's treated by her white friends at the private school. Some of the most stunning and like hurtful racism I've ever seen in a movie, like, you know, cause it's her friends and they don't mean to really, they really don't mean to, but they are, you know, like, there's a scene where they're all hanging out in this like mansion in this one girl's house, and on the TV comes a news report about how the cop, you know, like he's I don't know what I can't, like, you know, all what his family's going through and the death threats and everyone's mad at him and whatever, and
right,
the white girl's like, oh, the poor family, and you know, our main character looks at her like, what the fuck did you just say, you know, like, and she looks over like, what, and, you know, they're people too and they don't deserve this either. And she's just like, or there's a really great part where she goes into school and all of her peers are like walking out. And she's like, what's going on? They're like, well, we're having a walkout for that kid that got shot. And then they go out and like everyone's just kind of having fun and laughing. And it's an excuse not to go to class.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like they're doing the right, they're doing something that's admirable and noble, but they're doing it
for the wrong reasons.
They're not taking it seriously. And she has to sit there and watch them kind of have, you know, skip class on her pain.
And does she stay in class in the movie?
No, she okay. She walks out with them, and then she kind of just sees how everyone is acting and is like, fuck this, I want to go home. She like,
it's a really interesting, that's why I am interested to see the changes they make here, because it's a big piece of the book is the walkout and how she handles it, like where she just does not participate.
I mean, she doesn't participate per se here. She's just like, fuck all this, and I'm out, you know?
Right.
Yeah, so this is a movie. Look, there, I do have some criticisms of it. It's a movie where the dialogue's a little clunky. Like, it's everyone's always talking like they're in a college classroom, you know, about the issues, quote unquote, like, or they're in like a Twitter fight. It's like people talk in a way that people kind of don't in real life, especially about an issue like race. Like, people are just, they talk around it, you know, like,
right, right.
And so I don't really hold that against the film, but it's just something I noticed, is something I would normally hold against the film. You know, it makes it a little after school specially, right? But this is an after school special. Lots of people absolutely need, and unfortunately the people that need it most probably have no interest in seeing it. I really hope they start showing this in schools. But yeah, you know, and other than that, one thing I found strange, and I'm guessing this is in the book too, but you let me know, is despite the fact that that's what this is about, and this is a fairly progressive film on almost all fronts, it's really trying to push the audience and hopefully any white people to see this to think a little differently, right? See things from a different perspective. You know, Ebert once famously said that, like, movies are empathy-making machines. Well, this movie is an empathy-making... This is like a prime example of that, right? So, but despite all these positive aspects and good things, I'm like... And it's a movie about, like, how police, you know, racial profile and use violence against people. And ultimately, though, we still have to have a black guy be the real villain in this, like, drug dealer that lives in her neighborhood. And he's, like, the real threat coming after her family. And part of me, like, likes the movie for being a little messy and complex and showing, like, there are problems in her neighborhood. They do say that, like, it's because it's a system that makes it that way. But at the same time, you know, this guy is a guy that lives in their neighborhood. He's a black dude that's, like, terrorizing them. He's kind of, like, the ultimate villain. And I'm like, even though they say it's, like, society that created that, I feel like it came off weird to me. Like,
I'll be interested once I finally see it, how they handle it, because I assume you're talking about King Lord.
Yes, and he's played by Anthony Mackie here.
Yeah. So the story, like, yeah, I mean, you know, it's a 450-page book, so there's a lot of room to kind of touch on things, and there are threads between King and Maverick, who is Star's dad, and the fact that Star's brother, older brother.
She has a brother from his other marriage or whatever.
Yeah. So right? That
also really good in this. All kids, everyone in this is great. Just throw it out there.
So her older brother is
Name. They all have cool names. Like, he gave them all unique names.
Seven.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. His mom is currently dating or with King Lord. With
him, yes.
Yeah. And so, like, he has a sister there, and like that's like there's like that relationship, and they go into that a lot though, and they go into the history like that Mav has with, you know, King and with the how the gang ties throughout the neighborhood, and, you know, the different gangs. And so I don't know how much they can go into that in, like, what's probably, what, a 2-hour film?
It's a little over 2 hours. I didn't feel it, by the way. Me and my girlfriend were both very engaged the whole time, like, really into it. So engaged, in fact, that there's a part at the end or the climax where you think someone's about to get killed, and I like, I would have lost my fucking mind if it happened. Like, it really was like, oh, but I don't want to get too spoilery. But anyways,
I kind of do, and I assume that the film is the same. I like how, they don't go, oh, well, in this case, like, you know, the cop got convicted or whatever. I like how it's still messy. It's like,
yeah,
when the shit's over here, it's like, yeah, like they get King Lord and they can kind of clean up the neighborhood a little bit, but somebody's going to like take over his spot, right? Like somebody always fills the vacancy of the crime lord. So things didn't necessarily get better. And also like, you didn't get the justice you wanted. It still ends up being like rather heartbreaking in the end. Even if there is like a glimmer of hope,
that King Lord character, it bothers me because that representation of black people is the reason cops are so fucking jumpy in the first fucking place. Like, sure, that it contributes to that. Like, that's the image,
right,
of black men that's been passed down through film and through everything. Like, and it's just, I don't know, true. If you live in that neighborhood, there's probably a drug dealer.
And yeah, and I think like Angie Thomas, who's the writer of the book, and I believe she co-wrote with the screenplay. She based it on kind of like her life, like and like what she understood growing up in like Jackson, Mississippi, and shit. So, while it is very stereotypical, like, oh, the big bad black drug dealer, like it is something that like she was recognizing as something that is true in, you know, in that respect.
I think it's true. Like, again, you go to any fucking inner city neighborhood, that's true. It's true. But I just wish it were not such a focus of the story, right, because it perpetuates the image that you don't like. We need to start changing. So, but again, overall, I really, minute to minute, I was totally in this thing. And, you know, I like to think I'm pretty hip to these issues. I'm very woke or whatever, quote unquote. But like, even me, like, it struck, something struck me, even if it wasn't totally new ideas. It's just, I don't know. I just really, all the actors in this, all the characters, even some of the, like her boyfriend, the white boyfriend in this, great character, very likable guy. And I didn't know how I felt about him at first, but then like you come to realize he actually cares about her. But even him, there's this gap that he has to overcome with her, like this things that he doesn't understand. Like, there's a part, and this is part of what I call the clunky dialogue, but it's clunky dialogue, but it's good ideas, you know. Like, there's a scene where they're like talking and he's like, I don't see color or whatever, and she's like, well, then you don't see me because you don't see my blackness. And I'm like, you know, it's not something, it wasn't a new idea to me, but it's just like, I'm like, thank God there's movies that are like expressing some of this stuff that is usually only talked about in college classrooms or on Twitter and shit. So yeah, I really enjoyed it. I liked it more than I thought I would. I thought it would feel way more after school, especially, and it did. Like, it did a little bit, but it's such a fine cast and an engaging story, so that overwhelmed me. So I'm gonna give it 4 stars.
Nice.
I hope you like it. I mean, if you like the book, I'm imagining you like this.
Yeah, I assume.
You know, it's a good movie. So, I guess lastly, you finally saw that movie Tag?
Yeah.
What do you say about Tag?
Not much. it's fine.
My coworker liked it, but I have not heard anyone else really like it.
It is a fine, like, you know, 100-minute time waster. It's not gonna be like life changing or anything. It is it's about this group of guys that have been playing tag for like the last 30 years or so, since they were kids. Like every year, the month of May, they they pick up this game of tag that they've been playing. And this one guy, that one of their friends, he's never been tagged. So the premise is that, like, this guy's getting married, and after he gets married, after this May, he's going to retire from the game. So this other group, the group of four that has been trying to chase him all this time, they band together, go out to this guy's wedding, and attempt to tag him. So it's like a lot of like goofy hijinks and set pieces of like complete nonsense. It's unbelievable across the board. But it's, you know, it's fun enough. Like Ed Helms and Hannibal Buress and Jeremy Renner and John Hamm, like they're all perfectly fine. Like,
so that's just a weird cast to me, but I love John Hamm. So
yeah, I mean, I like
them all, but it's just a weird mishmash of people.
Yeah, it's a weird group, right? Like, yeah. They all bring something different to the table, and like they all bring weird, quirky personalities, and I don't know. Like, it starts to lose steam maybe about an hour in, and I was like, and then it starts getting like really mean,
really,
like internally, like you're just like, well, these guys aren't, or at least like the guy, the Jeremy Renner, like. He's not really their friend.
It's like the part in the romantic comedy where like they break up and then they have to get back together at the end. Is it that type of deal?
Yeah, it's kind of like that.
Friends.
Yeah, and it's like you're just like trying to like come to terms with the fact that like, hey, maybe these guys have thought this guy was their friend all this time, but he's really just an asshole. And like that might be why maybe he didn't want to invite you to his wedding. And
that's way darker than I thought tag was going to be about.
It's like really weird, it turns, like it does.
So it does turn back.
It turns back, and like there's a there's an interesting touch to it, as to why the one guy wanted everybody to get together. And it's like, oh, now it's really like going to pull at your heartstrings on this one. Cause
that's what my coworker said. He's like, it kind of like was like touching at the end. And I was like, what?
Okay. Yeah, it is. So it gets like really dark, and it's like, oh, this is like mean. And I don't really know if like, I like where it's heading. And then it takes like another turn, and you're like, well, now it's just trying to emotionally manipulate you. And it's like, and that's fine. Like, I think it actually works. Like, I was like, good. Like, I'm glad these guys, like, ultimately did come back together. And, like, the end scene is all of them, like, they're in a hospital at the time. And they're all playing tag throughout the hospital. And they've also, like, invited the girls to play. Like, because, like, one of the rules that they wrote when they were, like, nine was, like, no girls. They, like, carry this rule book around. So, like, they invite, like, the guy's wife in she's been there the entire time, and like this reporter who's been following them around writing up this story, and then the credits are, this was actually based on a true fucking story. Like, and there was like this group of people that have been playing for like 25 years, and they do like crazy shit. Like, some of the stuff that they do in the film, like, they have on camera of these people actually doing, like, dressing up like an old lady and like walking with a walker and then like attacking their friend and tagging them in the middle of a parking lot.
Such a weird thing.
It's nutty. And it's like that was kind of fun, but I don't think I will ever watch this movie again. I probably won't think about it much after that, but it was fine. It's perfect. Yeah. It's a light comedy popcorn fare. It's not like, oh my God, this is the best comedy ever. But for, you know, if you're looking for something to watch, it's perfectly fine.
I had it on my Netflix disc queue, and as it got like closer to the top, I just deleted it. I was like, I ain't really gonna fucking watch this when it comes in the gut. You know what though?
Yeah,
if I might watch it on.
So you have HBO?
Yeah, it's on the HBO, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like that. So that's where I watch. Like, I have HBO, and it was like, you know, I just didn't want to
do the like 2 or 3 day disc turnaround
thing. Sure. Yeah. No, I don't think it's probably not worth that. Like, it's not worth wasting a disc on, but you know, if you can find it somewhere, for free.
right. Well, I think that'll do it for this week. Just a shorter one this week because, once again, it's slow. But next week we're going to have more stuff. We're going to try to get to the theater. I'm going to actually have I'll be able to talk about all of Russian Doll on Netflix, the show, like the have you heard of the show?
Russian Doll?
Yeah.
I have heard of it. It's about like a game designer or something, right? That's like basically Groundhog Day.
Yeah, Natasha Lyonne, Groundhog Day. We started watching that, so I'll have that for next week. It's pretty short. It's like half-hour episodes. I think there's only 8 of them. So we're going to finish though that. Enjoying that enough right now. And then I guess I'll talk about it next week, or maybe I can just wait one more week. The new season of True Detective, we'll talk about that. I don't know if you've been watching that, Chris. It's really good.
No,
it seems like nobody's watching it.
I'm just really kind of waiting until it's all done, and then
just gonna, so you can do the burn. Yeah. I'll just say, I mean, you know, we're gonna wrap up here, but I'm really enjoying it so far, and there's two episodes left. And then one last thing on that note, I guess I'll end this episode with. We've been liking it so much that I was like, Melissa, you know, if you like this. Season one is really good. You know, she hasn't seen it. Have you seen it?
Of True Detective?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen both one and two.
We probably reviewed them on the show. Yeah. But season one, dude, it holds up. It's a fucking masterpiece. There's so many great fucking moments, and I'm going to throw some spoilers out, I guess, real quick. But, like...
It is a 4-year-old or a 5-year-old series.
Yeah, but it's just like, first off, that cast, like fucking Woody Harrelson is my favorite living actor. I mean, he's great. Everything he's really good about picking his material too. Like everything you see him in is like at least pretty good. He's great here. Fucking McConaughey has probably never been better before or since. And it's just well directed. Like there's a fucking scene where it's like a 6-minute long shot, but it's like going through different houses and a fucking neighborhood as cops are rolling into the neighborhood and people are fighting each other. Like it's like chaos going throughout this neighborhood, and this camera is just swooping through houses and following McConaughey around. Like it's one of the most impressive. Like it makes like 1978 opening shot of Halloween look like fucking child's play. Like it puts it to shame, you know. Just shit like that, or when you find out very late like why these guys have been getting interviewed the whole time, and it's because the cops think McConaughey is like imitating the killer. I'm just like, it was so good at giving you one like really awesome thing per episode. At least the episode when Woody Harrelson's wife finds out he's been cheating, and she goes and has sex with Matthew McConaughey, and that kind of ends their relationship and it ends their investigation. And so that's why, like, almost 20 years later, they're picking it up or whatever. Like, just God, that it's like almost better than it was the first time too, because like I remember the first time being kind of let down by the ending because it was just like I guess there was no way it could live up to what came before it, but like. This time, since I know who the killer was or anything, like, it wasn't even about that. And I was able to enjoy, like, the final episode in a different way. You know, like, it's more, honestly, at that point, about the characters than who the fucking killer was. Because that's another cool thing they do is at the end of the penultimate episode, they basically let you know who the killer is. And then the final episode is, like, showing the killer and then them trying to get him. It's just, like, a big showdown. But yeah, anyways, I mean, not gonna go too long on that, but like, boy oh boy, does fucking season one of True Detective hold up. It's still an easy 5 for me. God, I love it. But like, yeah, Chris, if you love season one, I think season 3 is just as good almost. Like, it's really interesting. I can't wait to like have like a full on conversation like once you see it all and stuff. Like, if you did not like season 2, I personally liked it, but if you did not like season 2, it is 100% back here. It's exactly like what you loved about season 1.
Nice, nice.
So, I mean, one thing that's a little different is not like this, like, you know, I won't even say any more of that. It's just, it's kind of back to the formula. So we'll have that. We'll have for at least Russian Doll next weekend. Hopefully some theater stuff.
Nice.
I think that's pretty much it. Unless you have anything else to say there, Chris.
Nope. But yeah, we will have actual new releases next week.
Yep.
Movie dudes.
Do.